Ladies and gentlemen, children of all appropriate ages, and whatever else you may identify as, welcome to the Black Tower Podcast, a Wheel of Time podcast. I am one of your hosts, Andrew, your Bajan Mahal.
And I am another one of your hosts, your Sorovan Mahal.
And I am jealous of Andrew's weirdly deep and sexy voice today, and am the third of your hosts, your Daniel, your Aman Khan Mahal.
Well, it may be extra deep because I was
by
extra
our
late.
Powers combined, we are
a functioning human being.
Black. Someone's got to do tower, and someone's got to do podcast. By our powers combined, we are Black
Tower
Podcast.
Yes. I love it.
But I was up late because yesterday was somebody's birthday. And I say somebody, it's actually many thousands of people. Yesterday was the Marine Corps birthday. And 245 years old. So you old bastards. But the guy that I actually rent my room and everything from, he was in the Marine Corps, just recently got out, and he had some Marine Corps buddies over celebrating. So, yeah.
Guess who else's birthday it was yesterday? He's not nearly 240 years old, but...
Who?
Mine!
What?
I feel like we should have known this.
You know what that means, though?
Yeah, I share a birthday with the Marine Corps.
That
it's one of the reasons that I actually considered joining the Marines.
See, that makes... Oh, dude, you dodged a bullet.
In the end, I decided that I had too much of a problem with authority to actually join the military.
No, you would have died your first celebration.
Especially not the Marines.
Yeah,
you would have died your first celebration.
Birthday in the Marine Corps, they would have killed you. Literally, actually killed you.
They would have taken an IV and replaced your blood with Jack and Coke.
My actual 21st birthday, I had about as much to drink as I probably would have at the first Marine Corps birthday.
Well,
had
I
joined
the
Marines, and I didn't die. In fact, I got myself home from that particular party on public transportation.
You are so responsible, and I love you.
No, not even remotely, but I did make it home.
Who's giving us a spoiler warning?
Very special person.
Yep.
From a very special place.
I have it ready when we're ready, but we're not done with the special stuff.
Well, I was just...
That is correct.
Hit the special stuff.
So the other thing is, as we're recording this, of course, everybody will hear this a week and a half after the actual day. We were actually recording this on Veterans Day. So though, unless you're listening live or you're on Patreon where you only hear it half a week after the day, we want to make sure that all of our veteran listeners know that we acknowledge the day and we appreciate you and all that fun stuff. So happy, by the time you're listening to this, belated Veterans Day, but for today, happy Veterans Day.
For real. Thank you to all you guys who served. Thank you to everybody who continues to serve. We raise our glasses to you. And it's a drink for you, man, because it's not easy dealing with all that.
Mm-hmm. But it's
and especially ample. I don't want to get political or weird or anything, but you know, definitely I know that not every institution in the United States is actually being good to you right now, and I understand that things are hard. We understand that things are hard, not just me, all of us understand that things are hard, but chin up. We really do appreciate you, and we're not just saying that. We don't just say thank you for your service and not mean it. Absolutely. Again, two of the people on this podcast served, and one of the people on this podcast has plenty of family who has. And while, of course, I don't legitimately understand it as a person who has served, I get it for the most part. And when we say thank you for your service and when we say happy Veterans Day, that actually means something.
Acknowledging military service and that kind of stuff is a good segue after the spoiler warning into the topic that we have today.
Indeed.
So we're going to go ahead and give you that fancy, fancy spoiler warning that we so abundantly adore because it is amazing.
Fancy, schmancy,
and then, fancy, fancy, fun. Then we'll tell you how. Then we'll tell you how Veterans Day segues into the topic. So
into the here, topic du jour.
Here is your spoiler warning.
Welcome to the Black Tower.
I love this.
This is your spoiler condom. If you have not read the complete works of Robert Jordan, The Wheel of Time, books 1 to 14, and also New Spring, big bad book of white art, and The Companion, you are at risk of being spoiled.
You are.
Spoilers come with side effects. These side effects may include headache, nausea, vomiting, death, dizziness, vaginal or penile eruptions and ejaculations, dysentery, cardiac arrhythmia, mild heart explosions, varicose veins, darkened stool, darkened souls, more vomiting, arthritis, hemorrhoids or diabetes, virginity, mild discomfort, vampirism or werewolfism, gender inequality for the whole planet, spontaneous dental hydroplosion, sugar highs, even more vomiting, or maybe just a mild rash. If you cannot deal with these side effects, please leave now. For fear of spoilers, you have been warned.
That's right. Dude, I tell you what.
I don't even know what dental hydroplosions are.
Isn't it like your teeth literally exploding?
Exploding. Something
I
like that.
I don't know the answer to that question, but I like that the person who did the spoiler warning is like, I just put that in there. I don't even know what that is. But again, it sounds so cool. Anyway.
So there's your spoiler warning. So if you are not okay with any of those symptoms,
brought to you by the sexiest fucking chef in Malkier.
And the third best swordsman in Malkier.
Does it go? Does it go Lon Nynaeve?
Yes.
Malkier Rob. Okay. Cool.
Yep. Lon Nynaeve Rob. I'm sure there's some other really cool guys there as well.
There will be. They have to reestablish the kingdom first. Now it's just the three of them.
Yeah. Well, it's just like how we make all the new rules.
Lon is king. Nynaeve is queen. And then they needed somebody to make their food. And so they just immediately, before they even restarted the kingdom, they were like, you're coming with us.
Lon was like, hey, Rob. Can't
make babies on an empty
you're
stomach.
You're Valkyrie, right? And Rob was like, why, yes, I am, Lon Mandragoran. And he was like, here's your Hadori. Come cook for me. And Rob was like, I do have a sous chef named Nog. Is that all right? And he was like, yes.
I mean, it's just like how we make new initiates in the tower do all their chores with the one power. In Malkier, the chefs have to do all the preparation with longswords. So,
when you're learning how to be a chef,
cat crosses the potato.
But anyway, why that was a good segue into our topic.
Yes.
Andrew, do you want to tell the people why Veterans Day is a good segue into our topic?
So, when you're in the service, and you're not around the people that can give you paperwork and demote you and do all the bad stuff, a lot of times the conversation devolves into, well, my worst ever commander was so-and-so, or my best commander was Colonel Haagen-Dazs or whatever. I wonder if there's actually a Colonel Haagen-Dazs out there. But
Colonel Haagen-Dazs is definitely the best.
Yeah. But that is a prevalent conversation that military members have across the board, across all countries. So, with that, today's topic, like those that are able to listen live already know, what are we talking about, Josh?
We are discussing, it's a best worst episode. We're discussing the best of times and the worst of times. only instead of times, we're discussing leadership. Best leadership, worst leadership in the Wheel of Time.
It was the best of time, the worst of time.
The Tale of Two Times?
Yeah.
So that's what it is tonight. Tonight we're going to be discussing the best leaders in the Wheel of Time. The ones who...
Oh my God.
Now this is not a deep dive, okay? So we've done a deep dive on some of these people. And I would encourage my co-hosts to avoid listing the five great captains as the best leaders, because we all know that they're badasses. They're the best leaders. They really are.
You get your hands off of my Brodel.
But other people in the series who are
you
not...
can make an honorable mention.
Yeah.
Definitely. Again, don't.
Dive like the
in. Those are kind of like the gimmies, right? Those are the easy ones.
Before we get to number one, we have some honorable mentions. Play the slide rule, Brodel.
That's right. Yeah, I could just see this. I could see like this. You know, the image is like blending in, you know, and it's just looking off into space, and then it darkens out, and it's got their name on the
bottom.
Well,
it's gotta like start on one side of the thing and fade in, and then start to crawl across, and then another one starts in and comes up from the bottom left, and
so I will. Who wants to go first? Well, I think we should start with best leadership. Name off a couple, and then we can flip the pancake over, as Dr. Phil likes to say, and then go with the worst.
Not sugarcoated, but you'd eat that too.
I don't care how flat a pancake is. It's got two sides.
So, who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
I got one. You go. Go, Big D. No, Josh, you go.
No, you were excited.
No, you.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
So I will start with my best leadership, again, that is not a great captain. And I think that an underrated person, just because he, I think, doesn't get enough credit for how much he taught Randall Thor. And Rand was actually very successful in his campaign against a number of people because of this person. I know that, again, later on it ended up being kind of a coalition, but I'm going to say Ruark. Ruark is actually my sort of most underrated but also best leader with leadership as far as it goes. Because, again, one of the things that I, as I said, don't think he gets enough credit for is that it's not written into the books as much in sort of word form, in paragraph form, just how long Rand was with Ruark, just running around, doing different things, learning about battle, learning about how the Aiel fight, before he ended up going ahead and facing the Shido outside of Kyrian.
Right.
And as I said, there's definitely, it's not the only one. There's also a number of other leaders, especially after they, Koldrak's Hold, or not Koldrak's, the Big Basin, which I cannot remember.
Oh, the Golden what the name Basin is, or whatever it is.
Something like that.
The Golden Bowl.
Yeah, once he gets there, he does actually meet a number of other clan chiefs who are also really good at fighting and really good at tactics. And they also help him. But at the same time, I do think that he has a very special place for Ruark. And that he really does teach him a hell of a lot about the Aiel. Yes. And about fighting in general. And I think that is also in some ways sort of comes to a head and comes to a conclusion in some ways when he leaves Ruark and Barrelane as the stewards of Kyrian, basically.
Right.
So yeah, that would probably say that would probably be my Al-Kardai. Yes, Al-Kardal. Yes,
that one.
So that would probably be my choice for the best leadership that is mostly off screen.
I like that. I think, and you know what? Every time someone says Ruark, I get the feels, okay? Because damn it, Ruark deserved better.
Yeah.
Ruark, yeah. I could treat you better than they can, than Robert did.
I love Ruark so much, he deserved better. He really did. Andrew, you got one, or do you want to take a second?
I'm gonna take a second because I'm still trying to think. Like, I'm sitting there thinking of who I'm gonna say, and then I'm like, oh, you know, like Ruark could be a good one. Son of a bitch.
Well, so now just take 1 second, land on a name, and then once Josh goes, he'll take it from you.
That's right. Hold on. Send it to me psychically. Ah, yes, you're right. Moiraine is my pick, actually.
Wow.
Here's why.
That's not your fucking name. You weren't thinking of that, Andrew.
I literally went Moiraine. I was like, no, too obvious, and somebody's going to take it. So I'll choose a different. And as soon as I was like in that thought process, he was like, Moiraine.
He sent it to me. I'm a psychic.
It's like, Veterans Day. We get that. Telepathic connections on this day.
The veil is thinnest. No, so Moiraine. Okay, first off, let's just establish real quick. Moiraine is like one of the baddest women in fantasy literature. I don't care who you are, she just is.
And live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls do. Except for Moiraine, it would be. Fast die, old bad girls do it.
Yeah, right. But she looks young. The reason I love Moiraine is that she is not. She's almost like the Obi-Wan Kenobi of the series. She's not particularly strong in sight when channeling Sidar. However, she is incredibly talented.
Tom unzips his pants. Hello there.
Moiraine is a great leader because she guides, advises, and leads Nynaeve, Egwene, Matt, Perrin, and Rand, and Lon. All six of them, she's guiding, advising, and leading. Now, with Lon, it's more of a partnership. I'll give you that. But she does still call the shots in most of the situations.
She does.
And so for her to be able to successfully guide five very different, very stubborn Emmons fielders, I think that is an excellent example of really good leadership.
Well, and again, I will disagree with you, as I said, for the beginning, because I think that she does not actually do a very good job at the start. But one of the things that I think I 100% agree with you is she learns. And she learns pretty quickly.
Exactly.
And I think, again, I think you brought up a really good point there of Lon actually feels like he helps her understand the boys from Emmons Field a lot better than she would have been able to on her own. And instead of looking at her warder as, you are my warder, listen to me, you are an extension of my arm, if you will. She says, we are a partnership. Lon, you are probably right. Let me change the tactics that I use on Rand to be more, A, what I've seen myself, and B, what Lon, you know, information you've given me. Because you actually really know this kid who is very important to my plans. I've got to go ahead and be willing to go ahead and or to change my tactics.
Which
and
is
so again,
another.
That's why I think that I agree with you completely. Once she learns those things and once she makes those changes, and that is something that a good leader does.
Absolutely.
And therefore, I agree with you that she does become a great leader of them.
Right.
She definitely starts out as a pretty shitty one.
In regards to what you're talking about. I took a sip of my drink and the fun stuff was all on the top.
Ah, yeah.
All right. I think, but that's the thing though. It's like, you're not a bad leader and then one day you wake up and you're a good leader. You're either leader or a bad leader.
Speak for yourself, happened to me.
He's a good leader because a good leader can recognize this tactic is not working. Where all the other Aes Sedai were like, It's not working when I punch him in the face. Okay, what if we tie him up and then punch him in the face? Maybe that'll work. No.
Yes.
You
yes.
dumbasses. Moraine's like, okay, this isn't working. Let's, oh, you know what? I'll treat him like Sidar. I'm a master of Sidar.
And again, one thing that I will absolutely bring up is...
Adaptability is the big thing.
Yes. Here. And that's why overall I do absolutely agree with you. There is... And I have to give Moraine a lot of credit.
Oh, yeah.
For the fact that she walks into the situation from the White Tower, which has been telling her for however many years she's been there, which I do not remember, but is over 50, that she is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and so are all Aes Sedai, and everyone will listen to you, and everyone loves you. And so when she goes into Emmon's Field and she acts like that in some ways, A, she doesn't actually even act like that as much as a lot of her sisters. But she does definitely still have that attitude, and that is not good leadership. That is not being able to recognize the fact that you have been told a lie in some ways. But as I said, amazing credit where credit is due. When she's out of the tower for a while and she meets these people and she learns about them, she learns about them. And she overcomes that handicap to be able to give them what they need. And so, yeah, I would agree with your putting Moraine on this list, even though she starts with a handful of huge problems. Completely agree.
What about you, Andrew? What do you think?
What do you got?
I think I have a name that maybe nobody would say. Berelaine Serpendrag of House Peyron.
Ooh! Good one.
So, now can you defend it?
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's I would you're right, I would not have said that, but now that you have said that, I might actually jab you a little bit for making such an easy case.
I mean, to be fair, yeah, I think it's an easy case that you can make that Berelaine is a fantastic leader.
She is.
She spends the entire time we see her, everything she is doing is literally being willing to sacrifice everything about herself, her very body and life, to keep her homeland safe, to keep Mayen. There you go. I knew the place, I just know I was going to say it was wrong.
That's all good.
I mean,
correct pronunciation is not a requirement here.
Yeah,
it's not.
Yeah. I mean, because she knows she's not going to be able to get with Rand. So she's like, well, if I can get with one of Rand's friends, that'll tie me to him and him to me. And he'll have a vested interest in keeping my homeland safe and secure, especially now that he controls Tyr. That's kind of important. He needs to like me.
A little bit.
She's already seen that doing the whole pushing out the chest and everything doesn't work. Oh, and one of the last times she tried to do that with Rand, the mirror reflections in life and tried to murder everybody. So,
can you imagine if that happened every time she tried to do that to a Tamirin? That'd be hilarious.
Berelaine's boobs are the real bubbles of evil.
Oh, Perrin, I want to get with... Oh my god, reflections again! Fuck this!
No. I mean, I guess you can call it a cop-out answer too, because they already talked about Ruark. And then it's Berelaine and Ruark that Rand leaves in charge of... I just brain farted so hard. The brain is not firing on all cylinders. Kyrian.
Yeah.
Because Berelaine is the main one in charge, but like Ruark is like... Ruark, not Ruark.
Ruark!
But he's there to like brother. Basically be like, you know, the head of the police force.
Yeah,
Berelaine is in charge, and Ruark's there is
to be completely honest, it's a little bit sad because when it comes right down to it, Ruark is absolutely there to be an enforcer, but also overall, Ruark is there as a figurehead to make the Aiel feel more comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, you don't put the Aiel fully in charge of Kyrian because they hate Kyrian and the Kyrian.
Yes. Yes. And you don't give Berelaine full control because the Aiel are really not going to like that. Well, so you put both of them in control.
And that's the thing. That's one of
So you like put her and her adopted father into...
That is one of Rand's more ingenious ideas in the book. When he started using enemies, when he'd put two enemies together to rule together and take care of something for him.
He could almost guarantee they weren't going to work together to take over because they would never work together. It's exactly. Like putting the Joker and the Riddler together in a story. You know that it's not going to work. Because they're going to do so much infighting that in the end, their plan is just never going to actually come to fruition.
They cancel each other out.
Yeah.
I mean, and then you have the fun bit of Ruark teaching Bearlane not to try to fuck everybody. It's like, look, it might have worked on the Tyrion and High Lords, but it's not going to work here.
I think Bearlane, too...
Papa Ruark.
I have to say, I do not love her whole arc of trying to seduce Perrin.
Oh, it's absolute dog shit. It's the
worst. No, it's garbage. I hate it. However.
But you understand why she does it.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. And not only that, but when you step outside of your own headspace, and this is one of the reasons why I love the Wheel of Time so much. If you step outside of your own headspace. And you say, I have to leave my bias and my feelings aside for a moment and just say, that's this person's culture. That's this person's coping mechanism. That's what they've done to survive all these years. And it's worked out pretty well for them. And plus, you get how many examples of nobles and kings and queens that are just like, fuck social convention. I do what I want.
Yeah.
And so you got to kind of go, the top. Okay, if you,
I'm running this country like I'm hot sauce.
Yeah. If you step outside of that for a second and you just say, okay, let's with all the moral ambiguity in the world, look at who this person is. She acts very much in character.
Yes.
And I think Robert Jordan did a really amazing job of writing someone who says, look, I'm the leader of a very small nation. I am neighbors to a very large nation who has a hard on for the resources that I have and who has tried for generations
to incorporate take us.
Control of our sovereignty. And
for
generations, they've held that at bay through the sheer intelligence and scheming and understanding what you have at your disposal and understanding what your strengths are, understanding what your weaknesses are and how to navigate those waters. And Andrew, I mean, love that.
Cause there's only one time that she really gets pissed. And that's when Rand is like, you need to go back to, Daniel. Say it for me. There you go. You need to go back. And that's the one time where she's like, fuck you. No. Bullshit.
I am here.
And then Cat Swain just comes in and is like, leave, girl. And she just,
huh. That was a fantastic Bearlane impersonation. Yeah.
But I mean, nice. her whole MO is being willing to just sacrifice whatever it takes to get things done. Like, who was it that was kidnapped and somebody suggested ransom? And Bearlane was like, you can have my gold and all my jewels to pay the ransom to get them back.
It's Fael.
No, maybe.
Yeah. No, it's Fael. She says that to Perrin.
Oh, that's right.
And he says that's not what the Shido want. So it's kind of a moot point.
It was when,
it's not about ransom.
Yeah.
But she does offer it.
Yeah.
And again, it's one of those moments where if I remember correctly in the book, it says very specifically, this is one of the moments where Bearlane tosses aside in some ways that facade that she's been putting up on Perrin. And this is a moment where she sees that Perrin is in real serious pain.
Yes.
And she tosses everything else aside and she says, Perrin, if it's about money, we will give you the money to get her back.
Absolutely.
And then when she gets back, I will restart this game. Like, this game will absolutely keep playing. But right now, you need help.
Yeah.
And I'm here to help.
Yeah.
And of course, yeah, again, Perrin is like, that isn't going to help in this situation. But it's definitely a situation where I think, also, again, in the confused. Books, he is sitting there being like, why aren't you just like this all the time? Because I appreciate this.
Yeah. So that was one of the strategies that came up with. I think her
smell changes.
Yeah.
That's what happened, because he says that her smell just completely shifts. And then they have that conversation, and it goes right back. And he's like, motherfucker!
They're devising stratagems for getting Fael and the prisoners back. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the stratagems they came up with, was we could bribe the Shido, you know, buy the Gaishain back.
Correct.
And Perrin's like, that's not going to work. But
yeah.
Bearlane was like, no, dude, we can make this happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, Bearlane, good one. I like that.
Now, again, I this is not me being a dick. This is definitely not me, like... I had a great choice and you guys are trash in any way, shape, or form. But I will throw out there that I actually think that Bearlane does become a way better leader when she's not just worried about Man. She's also person who, at the very beginning, again, I actually would argue that a good leader would work with other people and do what needs to be done and sacrifice what needs to be done. But the way that she goes about it right at the beginning, knowing that she's the leader of a small nation, is pretty trash.
Well, and that was the thing, right? Is that, you but know, you hit the nail right on the
again,
head.
She because... grows into it quickly.
Right.
And so she's, again, she's very much a Moraine in terms of the fact that I would agree she is a good leader because she adapts very well,
and
my wiles don't work on Rand. Cool, then I will appeal to his sensibilities.
Right,
my wiles don't work on Perrin. I'm going to continue that forever, but at the same time, you know, again, I will travel with him and I will give him my resources and I will do things like that because I think it's important. Oh, Ruark is actually a really good military leader. I will use that to my advantage in Kyrie. Yeah. Like, again, she is really good at finding what makes people tick.
Right.
And as Josh said, really her wiles have been the reason or that people have ticked for a really long time.
One of her assets. Yes.
Well, it's been the reason that a thing that she can give people to get them to do what she wants. And then in our story, the story of Rand, the story of the Dragon Reborn, the story of the Emmons Fielders, they don't respond the same way to that. And she goes, all right, cool. I'm going to try that first because that's what I do.
Yep.
When that doesn't work, I adapt quickly. And again, it's not that long of a time between Rand meets her in Tyr and Rand sets her up as the steward of Kyrian. It does not take very long. So again, her adaptability is... solid. She realizes what Rand wants and starts to give it to Rand to the point where he makes her the leader of a much larger country than the one she's technically leader of.
And that's the thing, is that there's some polish.
There is.
But she's determined, because it only takes her, what, 8 or 9 books to finally give up on Perrin once she meets Galad.
Only 8 or 9 books. Oh. And also meets Galad.
Plus, so she's determined.
Look She's at determined. This. Look at this hottie Galati.
And then he gets dead. And she's like, all right, well, back to Man.
Galad doesn't get deadified.
Gawain and Galad both get deadified.
Gawain dies. Galad survives.
Does he? His fight with Demetred? Oh. No, you're totally right. You're totally right. You're right. He's so proud and so cocky going into it that you feel like he's just gonna get taken out like his brother.
And but he almost dies.
He doesn't. Yes, you're right. He does get close.
He almost dies.
You're right.
There are actually other good leaders in the books. Like we said, there
are plenty.
Guys, come on, there's like 1,200 characters in this book.
And so like 180 of them are just Aes Sedai with S names.
if you've got a favorite
and a name.
Good leader, and a name. Go ahead and pop it in our forum. Go ahead and leave us a comment on our YouTube. Leave us a comment on Twitter or Instagram, or shoot us an email at blackpowerpod.com.
If you're a YouTuber or a podcast or anything, tag us in your podcast or your response video, and maybe we'll make a response video to your response video.
We'll respond to your response.
We'll have a YouTube war over who's the best leader in the Wheel of Time.
Yo, dog. I heard you like responses.
If we're going to go with that, that means the three of us have to come to a consensus on who is the best.
Oh, no, that's fair. Well, maybe we'll do that at the end, but we should get into the worst.
Let's get into the worst.
So what I'd like for us to do, because I know, at least for me, when I think worst leaders, my initial pick is, of course, Gawain. So I know it's going to be in the title of the episode, you know, from Gawain to Moraine, but I want us to not, even if that's only for me, to deliberately avoid Gawain, because it's such an easy target.
I wouldn't be on a consensus of that. So I appreciate that you think that. And
saying Gawain's the worst leader is like saying water is wet.
I would disagree.
Well, water's not wet.
Actually. Because Gawain, I thought, did
I think
what
Gawain is actually a good leader. Links. He's just a shitty person.
All right, I'm in the minority here.
Sit down.
No, you know what? I'm changing my choice.
Here's
Ruark to Gawain.
Well, then, Andrew, you don't get to use Gawain.
There we go. Yes.
Did you just knife hand yourself?
Better than somebody else knife handing me.
Daniel, do you think is the worst leader?
So I know that I'm going to get a lot of flack for this. I don't know if it's necessarily going to come from you guys or whether it's just going to come from the community. But again, I've talked about it before, and I know that this is going to be a little repetitive, but I actually really do think that Fael is one of the, if not the worst leader in the Wheel of Time. Because
you're
again,
not going to get a new flag from me.
Okay. Because again, it's a situation where she doesn't adapt. This is one of the things that we've talked about in all of the best leaders is their ability to adapt to situations. And while I do actually think that she does a good job when held captive by the Shido, right. I think that she does an absolutely trash job forcing her husband into a leadership position and getting one for herself in the Two Rivers. And I think that she then extends that whenever they're outside of the Two Rivers, because again, it's a situation where this is kind of a co-leadership position that she's made with her husband and herself. And yet, instead of being a Lon Moraine partnership, instead of actually feeling like both parties are equal and going about things in a consensus, actually having both parties input enough or the same amount, if you will, Fael runs around undermining half of her leadership almost the entire time she's with him.
I can see that.
And so, again, you have the situations in the Two Rivers where she goes around to the women's circle and tells them that they need to go ahead and do this so that they go to Perrin and bring it up to him, who's like, okay, first and foremost, I don't even know what to say to the village council, and they're a bunch of dudes. What the fuck am I supposed to say to the women's council about...
Perrin is still terrified of the women's council.
Right, what the fuck am I supposed to say to the women's council about the length of some of these foreigners' dresses? Like, shut the fuck up!
I wish Perrin was here. She knows how to talk to men.
Basically... And then, of course, again, it extends to the nth degree, in my humble opinion, when they are off on their sort of gallivant with Massima. And that is where it's, like, really bad. In the end, again, Perrin does find out about her using Chafail as spies. He does actually find out about a number of the plots that she had made for the different troops that he has sort of dominion over at the time, things like that. And so he is actually able to take advantage of those later on. And that, I have to say, throws a little bit of a wrench in the thing, because those are things that Fael set up that Perrin uses to great strength. But again, it's a situation where there is no guarantee that Perrin would have ever found out about those.
Easy
and
there,
been
Catwoman.
Able to use them. There is no way that, you know, that Fael set that up for Perrin to use. It's a situation where Fael set them up behind Perrin's back.
Right.
And kept it secret from him on purpose. And he stumbles into finding out about them.
I can see that. I can see that. And there's, there's a lot to that. There's a lot to unpack there. So I'll say, you know what? I agree.
Also, I do want to throw out an honorable mention that I will not go into, but I do. It was sort of my first choice until I actually really settled on Fael is the High Lady Suroth. Absolute trash. Garbage. Anyway. So that's my honorable mention. Josh, what is your choice?
My choice for worst leadership. I'm going to go with my honorable mention first because it's just so easy, which is Elida. Go away already. Elida chapters are worse than White Cloak chapters.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Elida is just the worst. But I will say, and I know this is going to be controversial, but hear
I'd name
me
you
out.
Dark Friend too, but I have a feeling the Dark One would be ashamed to be associated with you.
I will say, again, this is going to be controversial.
I like it always.
But I'm going to throw it out there anyway, and there's nothing you can do to stop me.
You say
Suwon
that.
Suwon Sanche as one of the worst leaders.
Yeah, there's no disagreement. This isn't controversial for me.
They talk about she ruled the tower by sheer force of will. And they sort of paint her as this really powerful woman.
And she is.
I don't want to detract from that at all because she is. She is definitely worthy of the role she has with respect to her sheer power of will, as evidenced by the fact that she's still there through raw power of will.
Yes.
She's very smart. She knows that she has to do things, but where
10%
she,
luck, 20% skill.
Exactly.
80% concentrated power of will.
Where she fails as a leader is she does not foster a sense of unity among the sisters in the tower. She does not lay the foundations for a unified tower. And whatever the Amarillans did before her, I don't know. I imagine it's largely the same themes. It's largely the same practices because the tower is, you know, it's a whole nother episode. But it's a very, very difficult situation. Yeah. That has been slowly eroded by the Dark One and his minions for 3,000 years since its founding. And Suwon, rather than recognizing how cancerous it is to play one side against the other, she just goes, you know what? This will work really well. And it allows me to divide and stay in a position of power. And that's a garbage leadership tactic. I'm sorry. No amount of good you accomplish can justify turning your own people against themselves, because all the good that you accomplish will be undone eventually. And as we see, Suwon's leadership, or lack thereof, allows for a coup. And that's exactly what it is.
And this is one of those moments where, again, to me, this is not totally predictive. I don't necessarily think that Robert Jordan was trying to make this predictive, But to be completely honest, I absolutely, and I don't necessarily want to get like crazy political, but again, there is a lot of parallel to America here. Sure. Of Swan Sanche is first term Trump. Elida is second term Trump.
Let's
because again, they're doing very similar things, but one of them has kind of a leash and the other one is just untethered.
Yeah.
It's just all of the same stuff, all of the divide, all of the make everybody distrustful,
right.
All of the everything that just goes, you know, to the nth degree. And Elida is so divisive.
Elida is the result.
People can't even walk around the tower without
right.
fucking.
Elida cuts. Is the result of that style of leadership.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's what it is.
That's
and
is
so
all
that's
of,
why I say Swan is such a terrible leader. And you even get to see this too when Egwene is raised to the stole. And what does Egwene do? She goes, okay, Swan, yeah, you're smart. You got a lot of connections and you're the best at gathering information. And I'm going to take that as a piece of what it means to be Amarillin. But you failed.
Yeah.
Hardcore. And Egwene calls her out and is like, no, you failed. And your failure is why the tower is broken right now. That responsibility lies on you and every single person before you who let it get yep. to this state.
Correct.
And so Sawan is, again, she lacks that adaptability. She lacks also the clarity or vision to say, the way we've always done it might not be the best way to do it. The way we've always done it might need to change.
Well, and that's actually
Egwene saying, the White Tower is the best. I'm here for that. However, you done messed up, Aaron.
Well, and I also love how, again, it's a situation where Swan actually does show herself to be a relatively good leader as soon as she's not a leader anymore. Because yeah, she right. is actually really
she's
adaptable
a,
and things
she's
like that.
She's a good mentor.
Yes, there we go. Because she is actually very, she can see a lot. And she actually, right. as you said, she has those connections and she has that smarts. But when she's yep. in a position of power, she gets blinded.
Yes.
When she is talking to someone in a position of power, she's like, here's all of this information that I have. And Egwene goes, cool, mm-hmm. I'm going to do good leader stuff with it.
It
is hot as fuck in this room.
I believe you. All right, what? Andrew, do you have A, comments on Swan, and B, what is your choice for the worst?
I mean, I didn't really need to make any comments on Swan. everything that I would say plus more was already said.
Y'all done said it.
So, I mean, I have nothing to add to it other than I agree. She was at the very least a very ineffective leader.
There we go. Yeah, that's yeah. pretty solid. Cool. Then what is your choice? And apparently, since both of us got an honorable mention, if you want to throw in an honorable mention, you are one of the
I already did.
Oh yeah. Okay. Gawain, honorable mention. What's your yeah. choice for?
For worst leader is Shaytan.
Ooh.
I think he is the worst leader in the entire series.
Barreling okay. and shy. Wow. All right. Fuck all right. you, Andrew.
All right.
We're not allowed to go last anymore.
Would me have like saying Shaytan first have changed your metric of who you were going to say?
Maybe. I might have sat down and thought about a better answer.
They're all good answers.
Daniel, I think what you're saying is that you're intimidated by how good Andrew is at this.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm glad that you picked up what I was putting down.
I mean, to be fair, I spent 4 years in college studying traditional and ancient leaders and current leaders and stuff for that. Nice. So,
yeah, well, I spent 29 years in the School of Hard Knocks
learning
about that. No,
that explains the brain demo image. Got knocked hard too many times.
Ooh. I love you. It's a joke. Savage.
It's a joke, not a dick. Don't take it so hard.
Ayo!
Hey, who took it hard? I laughed. I laughed.
I wasn't being serious with that either. So no, but
all right. Yeah.
Shaitan, like, here's this guy that has this unlimited well of abundant power, so the strength and the clear ability to share it with the people that one way or the other come underneath his service.
Phenomenal cosmic power.
Itty bitty living space.
Exactly. Exactly.
But as a leader, he doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
He doesn't control his forces. He doesn't gather his forces. Oh, and he
undermines them.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't control them.
Against each other?
He doesn't direct them. He doesn't moderate them. Nothing. Because this series would have been about 5 pages long had Shaitan been like, I got 4 Forsaken. Cool. You and 25,000 Trollocs and Murdral and Jakar are going to Amon's field and killing these people. Yep. Oh, well, we don't know where he's at yet. Okay, so...
No. Scour it from the earth. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
That was the plan anyway.
Right?
That's it. Because you have all these, the 13-ish most powerful Chandlers in the world with knowledge that goes back longer than anybody that is living can remember. Plus, oh, I don't know, you're taking direct orders from a being that exists outside of space and time and literally knows everything that has ever happened in any mirror world. And just still fucking fail.
Yeah.
Like, that's just... It's just bad leadership. And then you let all your people run around and just do whatever they want to do. And you're like, well, as long as they're not helping the light, I don't really care. And it's like,
openly encourage literally them. Yeah.
You were literally stuck in a prison with nothing to do but watch and change what you can. So watch them. And when they're doing something wrong, send your little errand boy avatar, Shadar Haran, to pull them in. And then be like, you're going to do this. Exactly as I say it. You're going to work with the guys that you hate because you're all in the same thing. Nobody's getting nameless until the Dragon Reborn is dead. Spoiler, after the Dragon Reborn is dead, I'm just going to destroy the time. So nobody will get it anyway.
Yep.
But yeah, it's just completely ineffective leadership. And he's far... Being willing to sacrifice is an element that leaders need to have, but he's far too willing to sacrifice.
Yeah. No, and I again, I couldn't agree more in terms of the fact that this is classic villain fare.
You sly dog, and you got me monologuing.
Right? And so you end up with a situation where, again, you're talking about, you know, when the good guys do this, as far as, like, people do stuff and then they promote the person who they think is the best. Sure, I'm not saying that that doesn't exist on both sides, but it's a difference between, all right, everyone do their best and everyone do what is going to further our cause, and whoever ends up getting the promotion gets the promotion, versus the sort of villain mentality of, hey, instead of everyone do everything that they can to forward our cause, fuck each other as hard as you possibly can so that you're the only one who looks good so that you get the promotion. And that is so much the tale of the Forsaken. Because as you said, if even two of the Forsaken had decided to legitimately work together, without trying to stab each other in the back, without being worried about stabbing each other in the back, the story would have been over. Yep. Even just fucking two of them. Like, and not even counting any more than that, given, as you said, there are 13 of these motherfuckers.
And they had 2,000 years stuck together just being like, sup?
Hey, I hate you. Still, we're I hate still you stuck. More.
When we get out of here, I'm going to fucking kill you. Maybe that's why they're so angry at each other. It's like being
stuck in the bar.
They've been stuck in quarantine lockdown for 2,000 years.
That's what it is.
Poor bastards.
COVID is all of us being stuck, being sealed in the bar. Okay? When you're under quarantine, you're sealed in the bar.
And that's why when somebody leaves and they're not wearing their protective gear, they fuck everything up.
That's right. Well, look, just what happened
like Ishmael.
Look what happened to yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. So the infighting completely destroyed it, because if you have an entity, a group, a nation, a state, or whatever, and you just have a people divided that always want to fight each other, then you're going to fail. So you have to have a leader that will do whatever it takes to stop it. You know, you start with the soft tactics, like, hey, cut it out. Hey, you need to fucking work together. And then when they don't, then you come in and you use your overwhelming force and you're like, you will work together.
Yep.
Because all this infighting, divisive, and dividing sides against sides bullshit, all it does, people think that it's going to allow, oh, we're on the side of good. No, we're on the side of good, or whatever. And we're going to ultimately win. And that's not whatever fucking happens. What happens is the people that are able to remove themselves from it sit there and they either stay stagnant or succeed. And then the two groups that fight each other bring each other down consistently. Yep. So, which is a good thing to remember. You can never achieve actual fairness and equality by yanking down the side you don't agree with. So
correct.
Keep that in mind, both when you're reading Wheel of Time and in your real life.
In short, when we talk about leadership, I think to wrap up this episode, I think a good way to do it would be to point out the common qualities between the best and the worst leaders. Now, the best leaders in almost every situation have clear expectations, clear consequences for violating those expectations, and clear inspiration to operate together as a team and as a unit. If you're inspiring your people to work together and you have clear expectations of what you need them to do and what you want them to do, and clear and concise consequence for violating those expectations, you have the foundations for a good leadership. And that's what all of the good leaders that we've spoke with.
So they have transparency.
I would also throw out there that they are able and willing to see problems and change them when one of those goes awry. That's also very, very important.
Exactly. So they have transparency and they're willing to accept counsel.
And exactly. I mean,
whether the counsel is just seeing what happens and changing it because you're hearing what happens, or I don't
or
know,
outside forces people giving you advice. Yeah.
So transparency and counsel,
ability for counsel.
They're very, very outward thinking. Okay. I'm thinking about my team. I'm thinking about my people. How do I lead them so that they are more prosperous? How do I inspire them to be better, to forward the cause of our people? And those are what the good leaders in the Wheel of Time do, which tells me that Robert Jordan had a really great understanding of what it is or what it means to be a good leader.
Humility.
Oh.
They never think they're the best.
And even when they do, it's like you said, they're not afraid of being like, okay, I'm open to new ideas.
Even if you have like someone like Sue on this, like, oh, I am the shit. I am doing the best.
Yeah.
At that point, she's not being a good leader, because when you start thinking that you're the best, you're doing everything right, nobody can do anything as great as you can, then you don't accept counsel or you don't take it seriously and you just continue doing what you want to do. And traits, it's never good. It never works out.
Yes.
Traits of the worst leadership. Okay. Very self-centric. It's all about me. If my team or if my people do well, it's because I did it. Okay, so a very self-centric view is a very poor leadership quality.
Well, also, and often with a self-centric view is the idea that, again, you don't take counsel, because if somebody in my army or in somebody in my circle or whatever did something bad, it was only their fault.
Yes.
I don't have any responsibility for it.
Exactly.
Because I can take credit for all of the good and take no responsibility for any of the bad.
Or if they say, like, I need you guys to do this,
That's half the military in a nutshell right there.
Right?
No, E4 fucked up, but yeah, the program that he built, I built.
Yeah, shit rolls downhill. Fuckers. I hate that when people say that. Shit does not roll downhill. Okay,
I mean, what shit rolls actually does roll downhill.
Is you passing the buck. Is you going, I'm going to put some more shit on this ball and throw it at the guy below me. And that guy
That is usually how that works. Because so, if you actually make a ball of shit, it does roll downhill. But usually what happens is I'm going to add my shit and throw it at this
person. No, bad leaders, there is no hill because it doesn't even touch them at all.
Face.
It just airdrops.
Exactly. So another aspect of bad leadership is divisiveness.
Yep.
Elida.
Whether you encourage or allow it.
Whether you sponsor it. Which is the worst variety. Or whether or not you allow it, if it's happening,
which is
under your watch,
worse, but still bad.
It's so like almost to allow it to happen and not do anything about it is at a certain point becomes a passive endorsement.
Yes.
Correct. Yeah. Exactly.
And you know, you can see this with Kuladin, who tries to be the leader of the Shido, but it's because he wants self-glory. He wants power. It's a very self-centric view.
You also
view.
See it in Savannah as well.
You see it in Savannah as well.
And
she
that's
is
one
another.
Of the, that is like the tan. That is the sort of focus of those two as the Shido. Because I think again, you know, not. I hated when we would read things in read books in high school because we'd sit there and we'd beat the shit out of every metaphor ever. Yeah. But again, it is a situation where you're looking at or where you can look at Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time, and just about every nation that Rand comes up against that he needs to fix or do something with or gets fought against by or something along those lines does kind of represent at its core a problem in real life of humanity, of society,
right,
of different things like that. And so again, you're talking about, you know, the Shido are this, the Kyrianen are this, the Tyrians are this, the Tyrants, not the Tyrians, the Tyrants are this, the Ilianers are this, the Shadow is this. And so again, all of these different places are complex, but you can kind of boil them down to like their most base thing. And as you said, with the Shido, it's just selfishness. It's none of what I'm doing is for the good of my people. Everything I'm doing is for the good of myself.
Right.
For, you know, the Shadow, again, it's very much all the way boiled down to sort of its most base parts. It's we are an army that is terrifying, but none of us can work together.
Right.
And so again, you have all of these aspects of, you know, good leadership of different characters that you're looking at as lauding as this, and bad leadership of what you're sort of down, you know, down here in the villains of the story. And I think that's great. Again, you just do a certain amount of critical thinking and analysis when you're reading the book and you're like, oh, I see what Robert Jordan is trying to say here.
Oh, here's another one for you. So you're a bad leader. Another quality, another trait that a lot of them seem to embody and all hold. You rule by fear and or compulsion. And I don't necessarily mean the weave of compulsion.
Yep. No, yeah.
Though that's also a thing.
Yeah.
That is also a thing. Yes.
Don't do that. Don't MK Ultra your subordinates. All right.
Yeah.
Stop slipping them LSD and trying to see how much they can take before they die.
Yep. But yeah, I think those are, you know, probably some of the biggest traits. Obviously, again, you can add so many secondary and tertiary traits onto that.
There,
but I think overall, that is sort of what it really boils down to on what makes someone a good leader and what makes someone a bad leader. So now that you've come to our tower talk, be the good. Be the good leaders. Don't be
the
bad
good
leaders.
Please be the good.
But
We at the Black Tower, that's one of the things that we've always, always tried to sponsor is unity and inclusion and just having a place where everyone is able to be here, and even though we may disagree on things, that's fine. That's
no, and that is okay. That is so important, because again, every single person has their own opinion, and that should be allowed. Never, ever should someone be ostracized because they disagree with you. Now, granted, again, if they can't defend their opinion, that's a little different. And you know, again, I still don't think that they should be ostracized. They should be educated. But at the same time, again, there is such a difference between we disagree and we hate each other.
Yes.
So many people through history have been really good friends and have really furthered so many institutions, even though they don't agree with each other. Mm-hmm. And so again, please love your neighbor, even if you disagree with them, because they have worth. Yes. They absolutely do, just like you do. They have worth.
And don't fall into the trap of superiority. Don't fall into the trap of, well, I don't agree with their logic or rationale, so they must be wrong, and exactly. I'm educating them. Because at that point, you're not educating anyone. You're arguing or shouting down somebody. You're preaching, but you're arguing and shouting down somebody because you just simply believe they're wrong. And even so, it happens all the time. People make really good logical points, and they're like, well, I think your point is wrong, so I'm just going to educate you because you obviously don't know any better. And that's fucked up.
And that's another thing that good leadership does. Like I said, they inspire those around them to be better.
Yep.
Inspire the, so be the good. And instead of trying to teach everyone else or tell everyone, inspire them to be better. Accent the things that they love and promote the things that you love.
Bingo. Guys,
times are tough, but we're going to get through this. We will.
Agreed.
Things are going to be better. Things are going to be great. We as a human race are a bunch of resilient bastards, and we're not going anywhere.
And let's be honest, this day today is for veterans, and they go through something that none of us can actually, who are not veterans, can actually really relate to. And I'm not going to say that after COVID, all of us are going to be veterans, because that would be putting down veterans. But on some level, after we all get through this, we're all gonna be a certain amount of through some shit. And we just need to appreciate that.
One of the things.
And appreciate everyone else who has gone through this shit with us.
And that's the thing. And that's one of the things that you learn as a veteran is during your service, it is not about you. Mm-hmm. It's about us.
Yep.
And your contributions are just that, they're contributions to the whole. And so you ask yourself, am I helping the people around me?
Contributions to the whole.
That's also another side effect of veteranism is
is that also a side effect of
spoilers? Of the taint. It's also a side effect of taint. Spoilers.
Sounds like a.
Because you or a loved one been diagnosed with a severe case of veteranism or taint.
Then so, you may be experiencing dental hydroplosion.
Hydroplosion. Whatever.
That wasn't in my enlistment contract.
Our Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at Tower Podcast. Go to our YouTube. We are the Black Tower Podcast on YouTube. Go to our Patreon. Say hi to all the people who get all the bonuses. Or become a patron
yourself. Or become one.
Go to our Facebook.
Part of the ship, part of the crew.
Facebook.com/Black Tower Podcast. We're there too. Everywhere. Instagram. Black Tower Podcast on Instagram. We're there. Because
we're there for you.
If you don't want to search it, if you don't want to search it and you'd rather just click something to take you to it.
Lazy like me.
Blacktowerpod.com.
Blacktowerpod.com.
It has links to everything, and it also has all of our forums, like Josh mentioned earlier, that if you have a different idea of who is the best/worst leader in Wheel of Time,
please tell us.
You can post in the forums there. We have like a subsection called like episode discussion or something like that.
Yes.
That you can post those on. And then, after you've done that, or while you're still mulling that over and you're like, you know what, while I'm thinking about this, maybe listening to some more Wheel of Time content or reading more of it or whatever the case is may help. There's a fantastic site built by Nablus that you can go and check out that will give you quick links to all kinds of content creators across virtually every.
Absolutely.
So head over to thegreatblight.com and check out all the fantastic content creators that are there.
And while you're there, I do highly recommend don't be like the Forsaken. Don't bring anybody down. Only build people up. Because while it's called the Great Blight, it should not be treated like the Great
Blight. It's like that meme where Vader is got that dude in the air, he's strangling. Great leaders lift others up.
They don't put people down. Darth Vader, entrepreneur.
Yeah. And then after all of that, you're saturated on Wheel of Time and you're sitting back thinking, geez, that is just some amazing stuff. And then you remember that cool stone that Moraine has on her forehead. And you're like, you know, I wonder where I could get a crystal like that. We got that too. The Crystal Barista. Barista, as in your coffee barista. But not giving you coffee the way you want it. She's giving you crystals the way you want it. Official sponsor of the Black Tower Podcast. Go to thecrystalbarista.com or search for her on Facebook, The Crystal Barista, and you will find all of your rock, crystal, gem, mineral, anything needs. It's all there. She's got it all.
And all items listed on the Crystal Barista menu are gluten-free and vegan-friendly.
And speaking of baristas, if any of you want to go and encourage Black Rifle Coffee to support us
to do a Black as an Tower official blend
sponsor, then you should do that, because one of our members already contacted them but has not gotten a contact back. So yell at them, tell them that we want this and that they should do it. We will take our sponsorship in coffee form.
We will. It's true. I'll drink Black Rifle Coffee on the show every time.
Oh yeah.
From I'll my Black Tower Podcast mug. No,
we'll do Taint and Black Rifle Coffee.
I'm looking forward to it.
Seriously, thank you so much for listening. We've had a blast. I hope that you have as well. But from all of us here at the Black Tower Podcast, I have been Daniel.
I have been Josh.
And I have been Andrew.
Da, da, da.
And we love you. Thank you again. And in case you are having a bad morning, I hope that we've fixed it. And in case we don't see you again, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.